Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got the Texas Agricultural Commissioner, Mr. Sid Miller. He is, as we speak, he is in Milwaukee at the GOP convention. But I had to get him on because I wanted to chat with him and ask him about his experience with the Trump attempted assassination, as well as a couple of other issues. Commissioner, thank you very much for taking time to be with us. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George, it's good to be back with you. Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about your experience. What you experienced with this recent incident with the shooting of the President Trump.
Well, I was asked to attend the Butler, Pennsylvania rally, bring my bus. I don't know if you know or not, but I've got a bus tour through the swing states, of course, Pennsylvania being one of them. It's called the Gas and Groceries Truth Tour. GasandGroceries.us is where you can find it. And we're taking the message of, you know, Biden economics, the inflation. How much does it cost you?
Yeah, tell me about it. I just filled up my truck.
yeah. You know, it's to the working people, to us, it's gas, you know, cost of gas, groceries, insurance, utilities. Everything is going through the roof. It's just, you know, hard to raise a family on what we've got. So, I was also there. I'd introduced President Trump to Matt Cody, who's head of the oil and gas workers, and they had just endorsed him as 45,000 strong. So, I was there with Matt Cody, and he spoke, you know, before Trump came out, introduced me, et cetera. So, typical Trump fashion, he's supposed to come home at 5 o'clock. He didn't come home until 6 o'clock. He's always, you can almost set your clock of him being an hour late at these rallies for some reason. I don't know why that is. But we were sitting, and if you go to these rallies, for folks that haven't been, you get there at least 4 or 5 hours ahead of time because you're going to sit in traffic for an hour and a half, 2 hours before you ever get parked. And then you're going to stand in lines another hour or two just to get in. So we were out in the hot sun for about 3 hours. You know, we were pretty much cooking. But anyway, he did. He finally come out. I'm on the front row next to the runway, where, you know, next to the stage. You know, the red carpet that he walks in on and takes the stage behind the mic. So he had just gotten into his remarks maybe, I don't know, less than 10 minutes. And very well received by the crowd. And I heard a pop. I thought, oh, I said, well, I didn't see any bulletins. Where'd that come from? And then I heard another pop. I thought, well, maybe that's a fire. And then I heard the third pop. I thought, oh, crap, that's gunfire. And by that time, people around me had figured out what it was. Because actually, a man behind me just got hit in the head. He actually, I think, died immediately.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he was just feet behind me. And I was kept standing up. Everybody else hit the ground or, you know, crowds got as low as they could. Those were in the bleachers. I was actually on the ground, on the turf. And for some reason, I kept standing. And the Secret Service agent within, you know, 3 or 4 feet of me, and I kept scanning the crowd trying to find the shooter. I want to find this guy. And, you know, point him out. I'm armed, George, but of course, I didn't take it with me. They wouldn't let me in the rally if I was armed. So I was unarmed. Probably a good thing if I'd pulled my pistol out, I'd probably been shot, but they probably thought it was me. So probably a good thing I didn't have it. So anyway, there's a, you know, another lady behind me took a round in the chest. She had a severe chest wound. I think she's still critical. I just finished talking to Ronnie Jackson, Congressman Ronnie Jackson's nephew. He was sitting behind me. He took one in the neck.
Wow.
It wasn't serious. It was, you know, basically a flesh wound. I think they patched him up. I don't think he meant to go to the hospital. But anyways, still pretty close to get hit in the neck or the ear. So now I'm scanning. I can't find it. I think maybe somebody in the camera pit. And I think it's a .22, like a little .22 pistol, because it's just pop, pop, pop. It wasn't very loud at all. So, I'll turn around to look at Trump to see if he's okay, if he's been hit. And he's just turned towards my side of the crowd. he's looking my way. I don't know if he's looking at me, but he's looking our way. And he gets hit in the side of the head. And, you know, he has the instinctiveness to, you know, get down on the floor of the stage. And so Secret Service rush up. They're shielding him. And, you know, I hear another three pops. You know, pop, pop, pop. And finally the shooting stops. But I'm thinking, we haven't found this guy. Because if we had, I would have definitely heard a big bang, you know, big report from one of those service agents' revolver, you know, because it's a 9mm or 45, you know, within a few feet of you, that's pretty loud. But come to find out, Trump did not die. I thought he probably got two or three, you know, in the chest, in the torso. But I get, he missed him. You know, God was with him. It was God's hand in it. So,
wow. Incredible. The situation. Go ahead.
Well, then so Trump starts to get up. The Secret Service all around him. I thought, well, good. He's not dead yet. And in his Trumpian fashion, he's trying to get to the mic. He wants to give the rest of his speech. He's not quitting. He's got blood running down the side of his head, on his shirt collar, and he's trying to wiggle his way out from those Secret Service agents. And then, but you know, he finally succumbs. Says, you know, they're not going to let me finish my speech. But he does manage to get his arm and head above the agents, and does some, you know, some fist pumps, and he's yelling to the crowd, "Fight, fight, you know, fight." And the crowd responds. They start chanting, "USA, USA." They whisk him off and, you know, take him to get medical attention. But later I found out that the reason I thought that was a, you know, small caliber, like a .22, is those shots were, you know, 150 yards away from me. I was only 30 foot from the president. I was as close as anybody was, beside the Secret Service. And we were in direct line of fire with an assassin. As he was shooting at Trump and missing, those bullets were landing in the crowd where I was standing.
Wow.
I don't know what's... there's something different about me, I guess. I never squatted down or kneeled. I kept standing, you know, thinking, I've got to find this guy. And now that I look back on it, that was probably pretty stupid. But, you know, I guess in my mind, subconsciously, I'm thinking, well, he's not shooting at me. You know, I'm not the target.
Right.
I got to find the shooter. But probably would have been better if I'd have got down. But anyway, God was with me, looking over me. I didn't get hit. It's amazing I didn't, because those bullets whizzed right by me.
Wow.
And struck behind me.
Now, you've been in many, many rallies with the governor and with the president. Do you see any failures in the security that you could point to? Because, I mean, everybody's pointing fingers at this point and doing a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking. What are your thoughts? I mean, do you feel
that? Well, yeah. First, I'll brag on the security detail. They handled the crowd, you know, as soon as the shooting stopped, there were people yelling. They were mainly yelling for medical attention, you know, for the wounded and the dead. And there were women crying and very upset. You know, people were very, very emotional. I never really got emotional, but they kept us there probably another 20 minutes. And I'm thinking, you can't let us go. Y'all hadn't found the shooter. But unknowns to me, they had already taken the shooter out. But lapses, yes. Number one, they were on the stage pretty quick. I mean, just within half a second to a second, they were up there taking, you know, laying on top of the President Trump. The thing that bothered me, one of the agents was about a 5'2" female, and I'm saying this because she's female. I'm saying it because she's short.
Yes.
She could not shield a 6'2" Donald Trump. I mean, she couldn't. So, you know, his shoulders and head was sticking above. Now, there were some guys on there 6'3" and 4" and taller than Trump, but they just let his head stick up. I mean, he's fist pumping and yelling at the crowd, and you can see his torso and his head. I thought, well, man, this is not good. Y'all need to get his head down and get him out of here. And they just kind of let him, you know, stay up on the stage for a little bit. Well, at the time, I didn't know that they'd taken the assassin out. I guess they had got word, so I guess they were, you know, worried about, but there could have been a second shooter. So I think that's a lapse. There was 126 seconds after the shooter was identified before the shooting started. At that point, when they identified him, they should have whisked President Trump out of there. He should have never been there when the first shot was fired. I mean, immediately he should be gone. That did not happen. And they let this guy fire off, by my count, and I could be off. It was, you know, all this happened within a matter of seconds. Seven rounds, and before they took him out. That's just, not good. I mean, that should have never happened. So, you know, not covering, fully covering the president up, having people that's too short to shield the president, and, you know, not responding to a shooter on the roof,
Right.
You know, a minute and a half is, I think, either, you know, it's very suspicious or at minimum a total breakdown in our Social Security service.
Now, obviously we are seeing a real enthusiasm after this near tragedy, but we're seeing a lot of enthusiasm in the Republican Party and in the campaign. Do you foresee any more events that you will be attending? Do you think people will be a lot more careful, or do you think the enthusiasm is just going to grow?
You know, it's hard to explain. It's more melancholy until we got to the convention. More like how you felt after 9/11. You know, you just had this empty feeling. I mean, you know, I was half inch, and he lost his life. You know, I was right there when the president, you know, former president was, you know, assassination attempt. You know,
right.
People behind. You know, it just kind of leaves that. I don't know how to describe it, George, but it was very similar feeling that I had on 9/11.
Gotcha. Yeah, we saw that in his face last night, and that's why I'm wondering, you know, is this something that, you know, we're just going to have to be more careful, or does it take... I don't think it's taking the wind out of the campaign. It's just that people are just...
Oh, no. No. It's... People are inspired. We now know who his vice president running mate is. And I stayed up last night. I was really puzzled because Trump likes the limelight. He likes to make a big splash. I thought, well, he'll announce his vice president, you know, when he does his acceptance speech or right before, he'll do it on the floor. No, he did it, you know, yesterday before the convention started on Twitter or some, you know, social
right.
media. Well, that is not so un-Trump. What is... And then it came to me.
Yeah.
You know, Trump realizes they're trying to kill him. And he's got to get his vice president nominated so he'll have somebody to succeed him. Otherwise, if they kill him without a vice presidential nominee, the establishment will pick his replacement. That's the whole plan.
I mean, they don't like him. That's all there is.
No, they won't put up and pick his replacement. So I think very wisely, now that I've thought about it, that's why there was no fanfare, no big, you know, mystery, no, you know, big reveal. He just got up and said, all right, I'm telling you, it's J.D. Vance.
Mm-hmm.
And, good pick. I don't know him very well. I don't know. If I've met him, I can't remember it. I think he's a one-term senator, which is nothing against that. But he is kind of the new right, the first millennial that's been in that, you know, leadership spot.
Right.
But he's kind of the new MAGA generation, so I think that's good. I think he made a good choice. There was others that would have been just as good, if not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided to go with this guy, and I trust Donald Trump.
You got it, Commissioner. Let me ask you real quick because we're running out of time. The issue of immigration. We got to get you back on again because I want to talk to you more extensively about. The border crisis impact on agriculture in Texas, but real quick, do you foresee any pushback against the hard line of that Trump and Governor Abbott and yourself have taken with regard to the border here in Texas. Have you heard any pushback about that within the party?
Well, no. I mean, there's no pushback about securing a border. I mean, who wants to keep the... Well, we know who wants to keep the border open. We got a long list of those guys. But our team, that's the other team that wants to open borders. So, yeah, we didn't, you know, and I tell people, I've got the perfect plan to secure the border. Foolproof. I can close it, in a matter of, 60 days. And everybody gets on the edge of their seat and they're all leaning forward and say, well, what is it? What is it? Share it with us. Well, here's what needs to happen. We re-elect Donald Trump. Boom. Probably something.
Very simple. There you go.
We have the lowest illegal immigration in the history of, recording the immigration problem.
That's right.
So he's done it before. Let's re-elect him and let him put his... He doesn't even have to, develop a plan. It's all there. He's already done it. He just has to reinvent his programs, So we can close it.
That's it. Commissioner, thank you very much for taking time to be with us this afternoon. Stay safe up there, and we got to get you back on to chat a little bit more. Hopefully, maybe next week after the convention, so you can give us a little bit more perspective of how the party is and the folks are looking at the issue, not only of the election, but also this very, very important border crisis that we're looking at.
I'll be glad to anytime, my friend.
You got
Stay
it.
Safe.
You take
God bless.
You too. Once again, my friends, we've been speaking with Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller, a very, very good patriot. Take care, Sid. We'll be in touch with you again next week.
You got it.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.